We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon your word. We pray that you open our hearts and give us hearts that are receptive to it. Give us eyes that can hear and see and ears that can hear, and strengthen us as we study your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin again as we normally do, and this is not just habit, we really mean it, welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes, and also those who are with you by the speakerphone. And service today is coming from the center and heart of God's country, again, beautiful La Crosse, Wisconsin, where the fall season is starting now to be ushered in a little bit. The birds are starting to flock up, some of the leaves are starting to change on the trees a little bit, and there is no better place in the world to be at this particular time of year than where we're at. I'm a little prejudiced, but we wish you could be here with us. Hoping someday you can come and visit us. I know some of you are intending to do. We're looking forward to that. I invite you to open your Bibles with us to John chapter 18 as we're in the middle of the trial of the Son of God. And this morning he's appearing before Pontius Pilate. I'd like to read the text through from beginning to end, and then go through and take what the Holy Spirit has given us. John chapter 18, beginning at 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But, first word of the next verse. The scene which unfolds before us here is literally dripping with irony. You've got Pilate, a Roman king, sitting in judgment over the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A ruler of Rome sitting in judgment over the ruler of the heaven and the earth. Little does Pilate realize what the real situation is here. But fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Now, Roman law required that Pontius Pilate give Jesus Christ a fair trial, bring him before his accusers, and give him a chance to answer them to their face. That's not what was done. In Acts chapter 25, verse 16, which I believe we mentioned last week, but just to kind of read it through again, the ways of the Roman government were clearly portrayed when Festus was talking to King Agrippa. And he was talking about Paul, and he said, To whom I answered, It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. The Lord Jesus was denied this opportunity. One of the reasons for sure being that the Jews didn't want to go into the place of judgment called the Praetorium, because that was Gentile territory. And the feast of the Passover was here, and if the Jews would have set foot in Gentile territory, they would have become unclean and would not have been able to partake of the Passover. So here's another irony. The Jews stay out. The Passover lamb is led in, and he goes into Roman territory, into the Praetorium. And this is going to end up to be a tremendous blessing for the Gentile people. There's more here than at first meets the eye. Before we get into that, just a little bit of a look at Pontius Pilate. The man was very, very qualified as a judge, as Roman judges were in that day and age. The one thing above everything else that the Romans were noted for is their court system. The nation was a nation of laws. And you could guarantee yourself that you were going to get a fair shake in the Roman courts. Completely unlike so many of the courts in our own day. And the Roman judges were well-qualified men. They knew what questions to ask. And Pilate did too. He knew what was right. There's no question about that. The flaw was that he feared men rather than fearing God. That was his character flaw. But he knew. He examined Jesus Christ in a Roman court, examined him as an enemy of Caesar. Was he an opposition king or wasn't he? And he found out the answer to that question. And it didn't take a great deal of intellect to do that. No Gentiles had accused Christ. It was the Jews who brought him to trial. And Pilate saw through the whole thing. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again. If you follow this closely, the trial of Jesus, there are seven times that you see Pilate going in and out and in and out and in and out and in and out. First going one place, then another, kind of like watching a tennis match. And this is all controlled by God, too. If there's one thing that seemed impossible in this whole scenario, it's that God's Son would be condemned to die. He is being judged by the Roman courts, which were the fairest courts in the world, and maybe the history of the world, and he was completely guiltless, and he was judged by a judge who knew that he was innocent and pronounced him innocent. And yet it was decreed by the Almighty God that he should be condemned and die. Humanly speaking, it seemed impossible. But it wasn't. The Jews didn't want to go into the Praetorium, lest they be defiled. And I would imagine that when Christ was led in there, they were kind of looking at themselves and chuckling a little bit. But I don't think it worked out quite the way they probably figured that it would. There was a rule, a law in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 19, verse 11. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. Now you can't come into contact with sin and death and corruption without being defiled. And that was true of everyone except the Son of God. And there's a remarkable instance in Mark chapter 5. When Jesus was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And this was in the house of Jairus, where his little daughter had just died. And the professional mourners were at work, weeping and wailing. And the Son of God came in and asked them why they were doing that. This girl's not dead, she's only sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. They knew what a dead corpse was when they saw one. And she was dead, dead. That's what they thought. He said, no, she's not. She's sleeping. God looks at death a little bit differently than physicians do. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. Now, I don't believe anybody else could have done that. If anybody else would have walked in there and touched the girl, they would have been defiled. Not Christ. Not only is he not defiled, but he takes the one that is defiled and cleanses. He did that with the lepers, didn't he? There was another law in the Old Testament. Anybody that touched a leper was unclean. Jesus Christ touched a leper. And not only was he not made unclean, the leper was made clean. You see the power of the Son of God. Uncleanness cannot abide in his presence. Not only is he not affected by it, but he does away with it. So when he went into the praetorium, he's not going to be unclean because he's treading on Gentile territory. He's going to clean up the whole mess. He died for the sins of the whole world, not just the Jewish people, but the Gentiles as well. And it starts to be shown right here. But the Jews stayed outside so they wouldn't be defiled. And when the Passover lamb went in, they missed it. They missed the whole thing. Now Pilate puts the question. He said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it me? Now there's no disrespect in the answer of Jesus Christ here. And this is one thing to notice. Nowhere does he show any disrespect for the man whom his heavenly Father has placed as a judge over him. He respected authority. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And so Pontius Pilate is a representative of God as he stands in judgment or sits in judgment before the Son of God. And the Son of God respected that. He didn't say this with a sneer. Sayest this all thyself, or did others tell it me? It's not the way he said it. Why did he put the question? Well, what did Pilate want? Pilate wanted a yes or a no. Art thou the King of the Jews? Yes or no? Well, God very, very rarely gives yes or no answers. And there was a reason why he didn't give one here. The answer could not have been a yes or no without a great misunderstanding taking place. Pilate was a Roman judge. He was trying Jesus in a Roman court. And his only concern was, is this man setting himself up as an opposition king to Caesar? Now, if Jesus had answered along those lines and said, no, I'm not a king, then he would have denied the fact that he really truly is a king. If he'd have said, yes, I am a king, Pilate would have completely misunderstood that. He didn't really have the information to receive a yes or no answer, so Christ is going to draw him into this. And you wonder what Pilate thought as he stood there, sat there looking down at the man who was dressed in very humble clothes, bound, standing before him, looking like anything but a king. And yet, you know, Pilate was not unaware of what had happened less than a week before this, when this very person had rode into Jerusalem and hundreds of thousands of people had jammed the streets. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And he had formally presented himself there as their king. And Pilate knew that. Pilate was very aware of what was going on in Jerusalem, especially at Passover time. Because you had hundreds of thousands of Jewish people coming into the city at that time. And the Jews were not an easy people to govern. This was not the choice assignment in the Roman government. Not at all. In fact, it's probably the last place that anyone would have chosen to go and rule. Now, the Jewish people were not easy people to rule. Rebellious and stubborn, and one rebellion against Rome after the other. So Pilate was attuned to this. And undoubtedly, when he received the assignment, he did some homework. And he found out about that mysterious incident in Matthew chapter 2, which had taken place only about 33 years before this. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Could this be the one? And Pilate must have known about this. He was no dumbbell. Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Answer, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And now Christ has a way of answering. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Now, proof again that Israel had rejected their king. Now my kingdom's not from here. Christ knew he was a king rejected, but he was a king of the Jews nonetheless. Now, just a little insight here as to what all is inbound. What kind of a person was Pilate? What kind of a relationship did he have with these people? The Lord Jesus made a remark one time, kind of a side thing, in Luke chapter 13, verse 1, which gives us a little bit of insight here. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said to them, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell." Evidently all of a sudden the tower came down completely without warning. 18 guys were killed and slew them. "Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Now, Christ was making a big point, but the side issue here is that thing that Pilate did. There were some Galileans that were making a sacrifice, and Pilate killed them in cold blood. He's not against doing something like that. Pilate and the Jews were always at odds with each other. It's kind of like a chess game. One always trying to outwit the other. And now Christ here is caught in the middle of this. My kingdom is not of this world. Notice he didn't say my kingdom isn't in this world. He said my kingdom is not of this world. He's got a kingdom in this world, all right. You and I are in the world, but we're not of it either. It's a kind of a mysterious thing. Kind of mysterious. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. It's kind of interesting. Why didn't Pilate say, "Well, one of your servants did fight. One of them out there in the garden threw a sword and started swinging at people's heads." Why didn't Pilate say that? Evidently nobody told him about that.
Wonder why the Jews wouldn't tell him about that. That would be something. Wonder why they wouldn't tell him about that. Maybe it was something they were trying to hide. Because Pilate would have looked into that. He would have wanted names named, check things out, and then he would have found out about a tremendous miracle that took place, wouldn't he? Yeah. Somebody took a swipe at the servant of the high priest, cut off his ear, but it didn't stop there. The one standing in front of you healed him. They didn't want Pilate to know about that. So they tell him what they want him to know and don't tell him what they don't want him to know. And there's no mention made of this whatsoever. Luke chapter 17 puts it this way. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." It's not something that you can measure with statistics, although Lord only knows people today try. It's not something that you can see visibly with the eye. You can see a human organization growing, churches being built right, left, and in between. You can see that. But that's not the kingdom of God either. The kingdom of God is found in the hearts of God's people, and it's not something that you can measure, and it's not something that you can plot or plan or even see. And one thing comes out clearly here. As far as Pilate is concerned, Jesus Christ is no rival to Caesar whatsoever. He's no threat to the Roman government. Now you know that when the trick question was asked, is it lawful to pay tribute unto Caesar or not? You know what Christ's answer was. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. He's got the right to levy taxes. Give it to him. He's a representative of the Father. There's no government here on this earth that isn't put there by God, be it evil or good. And you treat it that way. My Father's representative. Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. So no enemy of the Roman government here. No plot to overthrow it. But a submission to it. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Notice now that the question has taken a little different twist. "Art thou the king of the Jews?" was the first question. Now it's obvious he's not. They haven't accepted him. "Art thou a king then?" Yeah. "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born." Remember that passage? "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" He was born king. And he admits that. I believe this is what 1 Timothy has in mind, chapter 6, where it says that Jesus Christ before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Now he wasn't disrespectful to this Roman judge, but he wasn't intimidated by him either. "Thou sayest that I am," you're right. You're right when you say that I'm a king. I am a king. "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that everyone should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And then the question, Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And I don't know how serious he was about that. He immediately left the hall right after he said that. He certainly doesn't seem to have waited for an answer. But men have searched for the truth. Many of the large universities of our day are searching for the truth. But the truth is a person. It's a person. The Son of God. And the Word that He speaks. And the truth was standing right in front of Him. He didn't see it. Like the idols that the heathen made, eyes have they, but they see not. Ears have they, but they hear not. The sun can be shining right in front of a blind man. And if he's blind, he can't see it. Can't see it. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, Now here's the verdict of the Roman judge. I find in him no fault at all. And this should have ended it, shouldn't it? This should have ended it. Pilate should have continued. The trial is over. This man is innocent. He's going free. You guys go home. It's all done. That's what he should have said. It's not what we get. He went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But and now, next week we'll look at the rest of the story. It doesn't end here. We'll close with it. Lord Jesus, we thank you for willingly being taken captive and appearing before the judgment seat of Pontius Pilate to be condemned, not because you were guilty, but because we were guilty. And you were suffering and dying in our place. And we pray that the love which you have shown to each one of us, at least in some measure, we may show back to you. And also then to those who are your own people. And grant that in some small way at least we may follow you where you went, so that where you are now, we also may be someday as your bride. Pray this in your name. Amen.